This is CliffCentral.com.
Friday morning. Good morning, everybody. 0861-555-189 if you want to get hold of us. And meet this this Doc McLean. He seems damn interesting. He looks interesting. He's got an amazing looking guitar. That is some guitar, man. Wow. Have a seat here. Come on, make yourself comfortable. Hey, Doc. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, good, man. So you're in South Africa. He's doing a tour. He's playing 40 shows nationally. He's part of the Zulu Skies tour to South Africa, November and December 2016. And Flax tracked him down and thought, we've got to talk to this guy. As a teen, he was playing the harmonica and the washboard in coffee houses and festivals. And, you know, there's a long musical tradition in that part of the world where he comes from. We'll talk to him about the Delta Blues and all the other stuff. But it's a pleasure to meet you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just learning all about Johannesburg traffic this morning.
It's pretty horrible, huh?
It was pretty cool.
You're lucky to make it here alive, man.
That's true as well sometimes.
Cool. So, Doc, did you arrive just this week?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Okay. How's it going so far?
Well, 10 hours of jet lag is kind of interesting, but I've been having a ball.
Okay.
It's great. People are treating me really well, and I did the Canadian High Commission last night up in Pretoria.
Oh, wow.
And we had a blast up there. Had a lot of people show up for that.
That's fantastic.
It was great.
So you had to wake up early this morning to come see us.
Well, I was still awake, so.
Tell us now, a lot of people in South Africa, I mean, there are music aficionados who know and understand and have the blues in them. And there's some people who just do not understand blues music. To them, it sounds like boring rock and roll. Now, I happen to be a blues fan. No, hold on. I happen to be a blues fan. You look outraged by this, by the way. And I have developed a liking to this kind of music because it's so soulful, it's so meaningful, it's so full of storytelling, it's so beautifully put together, it's real, it's authentic, right?
Well, you know, blues music is like any other genre of music. There's stuff that you like and stuff that you don't care for as much.
Sure,
so we've got a lot of flavors to deal with. For me, blues is a really spiritual kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It goes deeper than just having a genre with a chord structure or something like that. You can play the blues and still not be a good blues person. It's the spirit of it. It's the heart of it. It's the soul of the music. It's the truth. It's the stories. It's the storytelling. It's telling your own stories and your own voices about things that you've experienced that are universal. Healing music.
You come from a musical family, right?
I do.
Which of your parents was the fiddle player?
My mom. My mom's a fiddle player.
And your dad was a civil rights lawyer?
Yeah.
Wow.
He did labor organizing and civil rights his whole life.
And you come from the South?
I grew up mostly in the South, yes.
And your dad being a civil rights lawyer, that couldn't have been easy for you guys when you were young.
We moved around from place to place. Wherever there was a demonstration, Dad would like to be there. And so he could get close to the picket line and take care of people.
Wow.
So we saw a lot of action.
I mean, it must have been an amazing place and time to be, you know, during the civil rights. You're probably too young to have been there at the beginning of it. But, I mean, you must have seen some of the real change happen after the civil rights movement started to take off in the South, and you saw desegregation and all that kind of thing, right?
It was an incredible change. You could really see the pages turning in the 1970s when I was working in the Deep South in bands that were mixed. So I was living in a black section of town, in towns that were still segregated in a sense.
Yeah.
They weren't legally, but people knew where they were supposed to live and stayed there. And those barriers were just starting to break down.
And you lived in the black neighborhood?
Well, I did, yeah, because I played in a... I was the white guy in the black band, you know. That was the way it worked. Blues used to be much more closer to home,
right,
in a sense.
Well, that's a really interesting starting point. But, I mean, your parents couldn't have been thrilled, well, your dad anyway, when you said, okay, I'm off to be a musician.
You know, they never stood in my way. I think my dad was too busy, and my mom was a bit of a classic 50s household wife, you know.
Yeah.
She'd given up her career to have kids, and there I was playing music. And she just, you know, I think I was living her career. Wow. I'd come home off the road, she'd slip me a couple bucks if she thought I looked hungry. Never said a word bad about what I was doing.
Oh, wow.
And if my kids were doing that, I'd be worried, sick about it, you know.
But, Doc, when it's... when your mom is really musical, and you really are, and you might get home sometimes, she might have even wanted to play with you. Did you ever play music together?
We do sometimes. She's 89. She's still playing.
Oh, she's still going?
Yeah.
Good for
Trouble
her.
Is, mom usually takes over the show when I bring her to sit in. So,
I was in Texas in March of this year, and there was this little blues band that were playing at the airport. And it was amazing because the stories were just incredible. You know, it's about... It's sometimes about pain and, you know, oh, my mama died and I went to live in a, you know, whatever. It's just, it's always these stories about all the things that have gone right or wrong in people's lives, and love, and it's real stuff.
Hmm? Yeah, it's real stuff. I mean, the good stuff is real stuff, for sure. But it's healing music.
What do you even call a guitar like that?
I call this a National Steel. Mm-hmm. It's a resophonic guitar, technically, because it has a resonator plate in it that causes it to be loud and ring. But it's a steel, it's nickel-plated steel, this guitar, built in 1929. Beautiful. You can see it's been a working girl for a lot of years now, and the finish is kind of worn down on her.
That is some sound. Get this microphone. Oh, that's magic. How old were you when you started playing?
I was about 12 when I started playing. I started playing the harmonica mostly, first of all. I liked the guitar, but I got really good on the harmonica, so I started getting gigs right away on it.
And the washboard, how do you even play that? It's that you just go up and down and...
Yeah, rub up and down with spoons or thimbles on your fingers, things like that.
Yeah.
And you imitate a snare drum. That's really what you do with it, except it's not as loud. You can carry it around.
Right.
And it was pretty popular for a while.
Why don't we hear what you do here? Get people excited about this.
All right. Well, if you see Charlie James and he's coming down the road, don't you tell him now where I go. Had a whole lot of trouble since I seen you last. Can't tell my future, and the show won't tell my past. Saying hey, yeah, now, long. Can't tell my future, and the show won't tell my past. Come on, yeah, baby, come on, sure, yeah. And old judge, if you see me getting into down no fight, bang on a hammer, lay out 99. You gon' bang on a hammer, lay out 99. You saying hey, yeah, now, Lord. Bang on a hammer, lay out 99. Yeah, come on.
When you put a song together, what comes first? Melody, chord structure, story? What's the thing that comes into your head first?
Oh, the story comes first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the story always comes first.
And then you figure it out from there?
Then I figure it out from there, exactly.
And you must have written hundreds of songs.
Well, dozens anyway.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, I haven't written one song.
I've been writing songs all my life, right. So I don't know how much they add up to, but...
Probably hundreds.
Probably, yeah. And they come and go out of your system, too. You know, you birth a song, and then you work it for a while, and it grows up, and it turns into something. And sometimes it's something nice, and sometimes it's not. And then you adopt some new ones.
Do you ever write songs for other people?
I've written songs with other people. Mm. So, yeah, I've written songs for other people, sure.
Do you feel like when they do it, sometimes it doesn't turn out the way that you would like? It's almost as if you've given your kid up. for adoption, and then you kind of think that those parents are raising it badly.
No, I like to let them go and see what they do.
Okay.
And it's always a thrill for me when I hear somebody play one of my songs. I go, wow, they do that really strange, you know, that part there, or whatever it might be. But it's still, it's the ultimate compliment when somebody covers your work as an artist.
Sure.
And so when I hear people send me CDs that they've made with my songs on them, and it's every time it just hits me right there, bam.
Now, you formed a duo back in the 70s with Colin Linden, right?
That's right.
And doesn't he play the guitar for Bob Dylan?
He does. Emmylou Harris, he plays guitar for almost everybody now. And he's also the executive producer of Nashville Television. So, busy guy.
Wow.
He's on that Nashville soap opera, too.
Huh. You still talk to each other?
Yeah, we're still good friends. He produces my records.
Unbelievable. Has he ever play with you anymore?
Well, yeah, sometimes. He can't advertise it now when he does,
yeah,
but
sure.
But we do some things.
That's pretty amazing. Now, I'm sure that you would have seen, you know, the greats, and you would have been around these people. You may even have played alongside them, like Muddy Waters.
Yeah, I knew Muddy Waters.
Yeah?
Colin and I opened shows for Muddy Waters. We were young teenagers.
Man.
And the fun of that was, you know, opening for Muddy, and there's a big auditorium. They're waiting for the Muddy Waters band to come on, and there's a couple of young white teenagers that are thrust out onto the stage that are going to open the show for them. And Muddy, of course, would stand off in the wings with his arms folded and his head cocked over on one side, his eyes sort of squinting, and he'd look at you. He'd just stand there and look at you while you played. And if you played something he liked, he'd shout at you from the side of the stage. He'd say, play that one again.
And you'd have to do it?
And you'd have to do it. But, of course, nobody out front would hear that Muddy talking to you, making you do that. And they'd just hear this young band play the same song twice in a row. And they'd say, boy, those guys must be nervous playing the same song twice in a row.
Tell me what kind of a life it is being a blues musician. I mean, do you spend most of your time on tour, going from place to place, staying in hotels all over the world? What kind of a life do you have?
I spend more and more time traveling every year. The gigs aren't as big, maybe, as they were years ago.
But you mean in terms of crowd capacity?
Crowd capacity, yeah. So I'll play more and more small shows. So I tend to be out about 250 days a year traveling, doing shows.
I'm interested. I reckon that one of the things that makes your kind of music different and, in a way, better than everybody else's is that you probably, the people who buy your music, buy your music. Whereas there's a lot more piracy in pop and dance and rock and hip hop and all that kind of thing. Or am I wrong?
No, I think they do. It's a demographic that likes to hold objects. They want to own the CD.
They're
not big at downloading yet.
But they're also big on supporting the artists they like.
They are. And part of my existence now in this place and time is that there are patrons of the arts that support blues and jazz musicians and all kinds of other arts too. But after being in the business all my life, I now have a few patrons around the world that they don't help me financially particularly, but they give me shelter from the storm when I arrive in a particular part of a region. They say, well, you come and stay at our house and we'll take care of everything and make sure you get your laundry done and loan you a car to drive around in and things like that. Just make life easy and nice.
Anybody we'd know? Anyone?
Nobody that I can talk about.
Oh, okay. So these might be famous and important people, but you can't tell us who they are.
Well, I got to say that, you know, I'm probably more popular amongst musicians than I am, you know, with the general public these days. That's my perception. But
and any of these people you can tell us about that are good friends of yours?
Well, that's name dropping, and that's
I know. But, I mean, the music world is small.
The music world is small, and you know, my window on the big world is really through Colin,
right?
At this point, because Colin plays with everybody everywhere, and it's not uncommon for us to go for dinner in L.A. or something, and around the table there's a lot of people. Well, is it okay if John Mayall comes and has dinner with us tonight? Well, sure, yeah, I guess so. Larry Taylor's going to come, and
that's cool.
Steven, maybe guys from Hispanic.
I would imagine that for John Mayer, it must be pretty fun to sit down next to you and have some time to talk about stories.
It's he's a nice guy.
I mean, sure.
Most people who survive in this industry for any number of years are really genuinely cool human beings. That's why they survive.
Do you buy this this idea that it's become harder in the music business now to make a living than it was before? Or do you think it's easier in some ways?
I think the digital world has opened a window to small-time artists that they can now compete on a global scale. What I do is very much a niche market. I'm not playing pop music. I'm not trying to play pop music. I'm just sort of aggressively doing the thing that I do. I tell my stories, sing my songs, or sing my stories, tell my songs, whatever. And previously, if I had to set up a tour, I'd need an agent and a manager, and a big tour might have been 16 shows across a country or something. Now, with the miracle of the internet, I can set up 100 shows back to back. I do that myself.
And do you know how big a following you have in South Africa?
I can't gauge that yet, but I'm looking at my Facebook numbers and things because I look at that stuff, you know.
You got to
pay attention to the numbers and see what's going on. And I've got more fans in South Africa now than I do in the United States.
Wow.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. That's phenomenal. I didn't know we were that cool.
You are that cool. Definitely. South Africa's happening.
Now, Doc, you live in Canada, right?
I do.
Why? I mean, Mavs, why?
Well, you know, Canada is a much smarter country than the United States in a lot of ways.
Smarter.
Yeah, it's smarter. I mean, look at who's running for president. And, you know,
by the way,
people
are going to
vote for both of them.
What are your politics?
What are my politics?
As an American who lives in Canada, you don't have to.
As an expat. Well, you see, I've got a Canadian passport now.
Right.
And I voted in the Canadian election.
Yeah.
And, you know, we...
Justin Trudeau.
We got a nice young guy in there now, and legalizing pot, for instance, across the country.
It's a good move.
Making sure people have health care. Canada's a lot like South Africa in some ways. It's not as well known, but there's been a lot of interchange between the two countries in truth and reconciliation and trying to amend things that have happened and move into the future.
We used their constitution as sort of a framework for ours.
That's right.
And I think, if you don't mind my saying, I think we might have improved on it a little.
Probably. It's not hard to do that, but we have to keep on improving things. So, yeah, I lean on the left-hand side of things, generally speaking, but I try and I don't come someplace to talk politics with people.
No,
I come to collect stories and listen, and that's what I do. I listen to all the stories from everybody that wants to tell me their story, and sometimes I get a good song out of it, and it might not be the song they wanted me to write, or they might not have been thinking I was going to write a song, but it comes out. I mean, I think my work touches on the things that are important to me in the world. Ordinary people can work together and change this world. I think that underlies...
You're a goddamn hippie.
No.
No, I love it. All right, play us a song that you think people need to hear from a point of view of changing the world for better. I mean, there's got to be some messages around that kind of thing that get you excited.
I don't know. Let's see here. Play a little bit of that. A song about voodoo.
Yay.
Well, there's Disney girls in the Delta now. I'm cleaning stones from the shadow of a grave. And the sun going down over blue skies of Graceland. Clarksdale woman, what she'd say. Streamline, well, Shade was only 12 and Memphis should have vanished in a haze. 6 days in Atlanta, she sounded like the passion of a train, with her words howling out at the ceiling. Don't you know that Shade's pretty woman? And she'd say, Streamline, well, Shade was only 12. Memphis should have vanished in a haze. By the water, there's a blue light man. hand, the sinking in the palm of my hand. Spud full of blood, spoon full of sand. Memphis sinking in the palm of my hand. Memphis sinking in the palm of my hand. All right, it's going down easy, baby. Well, I'm going down to the crossroad. White girls are looking at the sky, cutting hearts out to float down the river. Don't you know, as they do, you hear a moan and cry. Streamlight, oh, streamline. Streamlight, oh, streamline. Well, shade was only 12. Memphis should have vanished in a haze. Well, I tried yellow fever. I live high, but I die beneath the line. And I ain't 27, but I have more girls than Kurt Cobain. Are you ready? And is it worth the price? Streamline, oh, streamline. Streamline, oh, streamline. Well, shade was only 12. Memphis should have vanished in a haze. Shade was only 12 in Memphis. It should have vanished in the haze. That's right. Going down easy, baby.
I feel like I'm in Louisiana. That's something. Huh, Mubs? Isn't that good?
Different. It relaxes you.
It puts you in a whole different world.
Nice.
Man.
That's where I like to go.
Yeah, that's the world.
That's what a good
you're in the you're in, you're in the Delta.
That's a good one, but you know my favorite old time players, guys like Son House that I knew when they were old men. Son House would go into a trance when he played, and I've never seen contemporary modern players do that. But he'd go into a trance, his eyes would roll back in his head, and the thing that was really cool is that he could take a whole room of people with him wherever that place was that he went. If you were there, you'd be gone to go to that place. And that's, I always use Sun as a touchstone in a way that if I can go someplace in my music, and sometimes it happens, you experience some otherworldly thing while you're playing, and sometimes an audience gets to go with you.
Do you often go back to the South? Do you ever get to kind of visit your old home, and do you miss it often when you're not there?
I work the South every year still.
Right.
I do about, not as much as I used to.
You drink your fill.
I drink my fill of South, but I tell you, the beer is pretty weak compared to what I'm used to now, so I can drink a lot more of it.
Yeah, ours is good here too. So
it is good here. Had great beer last night. This Jack Black beer.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man. I can't mention products, can I?
But, no, you can.
But,
you could do whatever you want here.
All right. Well, I can.
Anything you want.
Some Canadian couple makes it. It was good. Yeah.
Tim Bella is on the line. You want to talk to Doc? It's Tim Bella? Hello? Not there. Flax, what's the story? What's going on here? Hello? No. Let me just see if I can get them on. I think I'm screwing up the controls here. Do you want to take some calls?
Yeah, we'll take the third caller.
Right. Hello, it's Tim Bella. Go ahead. Sorry, man.
Yes, I am here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Go for it.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
yes,
Tim.
You can go ahead, dude.
Okay. You see, this guy, you remember in your, I think, 10th season or 11th season audition of Idol, there's a guy who sang the blues. Yeah, his name was Kyle, I think. He reminds me of him, but at least this guy is a thousand times better than
this
that guy.
He's talking about, I do a TV show here, and then people come and audition, and it's a singing show.
All right.
And there was a guy who came and did the blues. But do you like this kind of music?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Yeah, it's kind of cool. Yeah.
You going to go and see his shows?
Sorry?
You going to go and see one of his shows?
Well, if there is a show in Durban, I can
You're doing Durban at all?
I am doing some shows down the Durban way. You got to go to my website and see where those are. It's zuluskies.blogspot.com. Just Google Zulu Skies and you'll find my blues tour. It has all the dates on it.
Very good.
All right. Zulu by anyway.
Yeah, he's a white Zulu. That's what he is.
I'm going to meet the Zulu king.
This guy is a Zulu. It's Thembela, you're a Zulu, right?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, there we go. You can meet an actual Zulu. There we go. Beautiful. All right, dude. Thanks very much. All right, bro. Yeah, that's the thing about good music, right? It should take you on a journey.
It should. And it should be a healing journey, too. These are universals, things that we share that make music important to us. And when you hit that universal note that touches all of our hearts, then nothing else matters. It doesn't matter what genre it is. You know, we hear great music in all genres, and when you hear something that really transcends, it genre is no longer important. So you don't have to count bars. You don't have to write it a special way. You just be honest with it.
Do you think that some blues music is a little bit self-indulgent, though?
I think a lot of blues music is highly self-indulgent. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of blues music that's, you know, that got my mojo working, that's sung by guys that haven't got any mojo and wouldn't know how to work it if they did, you know. Now, all that said, it doesn't mean that they're not good at it, and it doesn't mean that people aren't having fun. And, you know, to go out and have fun with music and your friends is a really important thing. But as an art form, I guess when I get down to it, I like to see the blues as an unbroken chain of songs, stories, emotions that reaches back as far as humans have lived on the earth. And to keep it moving forward, we need to keep telling our own stories. And we take some from the past and we add to it our own. And we tell our own stories and our own voices. That keeps the medium alive, and it keeps it vital and interesting and relevant to the times and places we live in. And that's sort of why I like hip-hop music, too.
Right.
Because hip-hop is like a different form of blues. I don't like it that I buy records and play them in my car, but when I hear a hip-hop artist play, I remember in real old school going to Brooklyn and seeing Ice-T playing in a high school gymnasium. He wasn't big yet. He was just playing a high school gym. Some friends took me down to hear him. And he had guys with him with basketballs on turntables and stuff, and they're making this wild music. And I thought to myself, wow, this is great. These guys are singing about the neighborhood they live in, about their adventures, about the people they know and the things they do, and they're doing it on homemade instruments. And it's just like the blues. If I described what they did without giving you the background that it's kind of a different genre, you wouldn't know. You'd say, yeah, it's probably blues artists.
Well, isn't it true that the only people who care about genre are the people who file the records, right?
Yeah,
the
probably.
Rest of us, if you like music, I always think that it shows that there's a sophistication to being a real music fan when you realize that it doesn't matter what genre it is. If it's a good song, you like it.
We used to send these albums out with that, you know, in multiple envelopes with different stickers on it to stations, mm-hmm. like the big, you know, jerky stations in some of the big cities. You'd send it to them, file under rock, file under jazz, file under blues.
Depending on what their format was.
And depending on who opened the envelope, you know, you'd get filed or you wouldn't get filed.
All right. You mentioned Sun House. Can you give us any idea? I got to plead ignorance on this one, but I know the name. Can you give us some idea of what sort of stuff he would do?
Sun House was a Mississippi Delta player, and he was one of the older players on the scene when recording started to take place.
Yeah.
So prior to records being made, people learned from one another, and music tended to be fairly regional. You'd play the same way the people did up and down your county, for instance. And Sun played a very aggressive, percussive style of guitar, and very emotional, and he was a preacher as well. And his music influenced all the other players that came after him around that, in that area. So Muddy Waters, for instance, was really influenced by Sun House. When you hear him interviewed early on for the Library of Congress, they say, well, is there anybody else that plays down like this? He said, well, Sun House. Robert Johnson learned how to play a lot of things from Sun House, tried to imitate him initially. So Sun was at the root of a lot of the Delta music.
Unbelievable. I'm just looking at a picture of him now, and as you say, his eyes roll back in his head when he's busy singing.
He could do that without even playing an instrument. I remember asking him about how to write songs. We're sitting in his living room, and he's pacing up and down and up and down, and his face starts to change, and his eyes start to go funny, and he recites a story. He took me someplace, just walking back and forth, pacing in his little apartment, telling that story. It was pretty pretty neat.
Incredible. Well, listen, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for coming to see us this morning.
Thanks so much.
And you said we can go to zuluskies.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm. Just Zulu Skies, you'll find it.
And it'll come up and we can go and get to see where you're performing.
Get to see all those dates across South Africa, yeah.
Very nice. Well, I like this. I like that we're also a little more, you know, I love to see a diversity of stuff also coming into South Africa in terms of different musicians. It's not just your standard kind of.
I'll tell you what else, we're going to get some South African music out of South Africa and over to North America. You've got some really great artists here that have been helpful to me, and North Americans are really going to like them.
Good. Let's push this out there. You want to give us one more?
I'll give you a little Sun House for a little bit.
Oh, that would be great.
All right.
Let's do it. String. Mm.
So nice.
Damn, that's nice. That is so nice. Listen, thank you very much for popping by, man.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Don. What a pleasure to meet you.
This is CliffCentral.com.